The challenging call for a health institution. As she continued her appeals in behalf of the health reform, she declared, "Men and women must be instructed, and ministers and people should feel that the burden of the work rests upon them to agitate the subject and urge it home upon others. I was shown that we should provide a home for the afflicted and those who wish to learn how to take care of their bodies that they may prevent sickness." Doubtless some in the audience questioned in their hearts how this small people with little resources could ever start a medical institution. But before she closed her address, she declared, "Our people should have an institution of their own, under their own control, for the benefit of the diseased and suffering among us who wish to have health and strength that they may glorify God in their bodies and spirits, which are His. Such an institution, rightly conducted, would be the means of bringing our views before many whom it would be impossible for us to reach by the common course of advocating the truth. As unbelievers shall resort to an institution devoted to the successful treatment of disease and conducted by Sabbath-keeping physicians, they will be brought directly under the influence of the truth. As the health of invalids improves under judicious treatment, and they begin to enjoy life, they have confidence in those who have been instrumental in their restoration to health. Some who go away restored or greatly benefited will be the means of introducing our faith in new places and raising the standard of truth where it would have been impossible to gain access had not prejudice been first removed from minds by a tarry among our people for the object of gaining health. This Council on Health Reform and the Need of a Health Institution quoted above and in what followed was not written out in full until later. It is assumed that what she then wrote was the essence of her presentation at the conference session, said by J.N. Loughborough to have been read. The audience, including Loughborough, president of the Michigan Conference, was startled. As James White, the natural leader of the church, was ill, and others were incapacitated, Loughborough was the principal administrator in charge of affairs. He later reported, "When this testimony was read to our people, the question arose, how can we, in our condition of limited means, obtain and control a health institution? Brother James White was at that time in a critical condition of health, and could not take upon himself the management of the enterprise, so the matter seemed to fall upon the Michigan Conference Committee, of which I was at that time president. The committee, with a few of the leading members in Battle Creek, counseled and prayed over the matter, and said, we will pledge to the enterprise, venturing out on what is said in the testimony, though it looks to us like a heavy load for us to hold up." Loughborough then drew up a subscription paper. He went first to J.P. Kellogg, a store owner and one of the most prosperous businessmen among the Adventists in Battle Creek, and father of J.H. and W.K. Kellogg. Loughborough said to him, "Brother Kellogg, you heard the testimony that Sister White read to us in the tent. A few of us have decided to make an investment for the purpose presented to us in that testimony, sink or swim. We thought we would like to have your name at the head of the list, as you have more money than any of us." Kellogg replied, "Let me take that paper." In a bold hand he wrote, "J.P. Kellogg, $500. There it is," he said, "sink or swim." Others were quick to follow with pledges: Ellen G. White, $500, J. M. Aldrich, $250, James White, $100, J. N. Loughborough, $50, etc. The committee followed the counsel of competent lawyers, and the emerging institution developed as a business enterprise on a dividend-paying share basis. Each share sold for $25, with the promise of returns to the investor from the earnings. Before too long, however, on Ellen White's counsel, this was turned around. While the capital was built up on the basis of the purchase of shares, which provided voting rights, profits from the investment were plowed back into the enterprise,